What's going on, Clipper Nation?
What?
It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. In case you didn't know, we're just basking in the post-finals breeze.
It's officially the NBA's offseason. It's been the Clippers' offseason for a while. But
yeah, now I feel like it's time for us to roll our sleeves up. It's time to go back to work.
Yeah.
I've been chilling. I've been big chilling. Through the finals.
And with how catastrophic this finals was, and with the looming free agency, I think it's time to roll up those sleeves.
Time to roll up the sleeves. It's time to get busy. We're coming at you 2 days a week.
Yep.
Expect that to get ramped up.
Absolutely.
Things are brewing. Things are happening.
Yeah.
Things have been set in motion. I've heard of some things that I can't even speak about.
Oh, there's some hot chatter I've heard.
Anyways, enough with the mysteriousness. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to kick things off with a little review of Doc's season. We've done all our players, so
time to do the guy.
Time to do the coach.
Yeah.
Then we're going to do the front office.
I mean, A plus all the way.
And then we're
we'll
going to do the media team.
Then the concessions.
And then we're going to do the beat writers.
Then the janitors.
Basically, if it's Clippers, we're reviewing it.
We're reviewing it, baby.
Anyway, so that you got that to look forward to. And then we're going to jump into our next segment, which will be some free agency kind of talk.
That's a thick segment.
Obviously, we got a Kawhi watch coming at you.
Oh, we got a big Kawhi watch.
Bunch of interesting stuff. I feel like with the Clay injury.
Whole landscape
thing,
has shifted.
Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah, pretty much.
And we're going to speak on it.
Yep.
And then we're going to wrap things off with a little bit of Gallo offseason talk.
Yeah.
A pod fave.
Of course.
And then get into our regular Friday segment. Love, marry, kill. We got some new Gallo nicknames for you.
Charles is
very proud of himself on this one. I can already see.
He needs a new nickname.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so we're getting into Doc Rivers season review. Bit of an outlook, too.
Yeah.
Want to give a quick shout out. Yesterday, Coach Doc Rivers was awarded the Rudy Tomjanovich Award from the Professional Basketball Writers of America. Every year, they give the coach who best exemplifies cooperation with the media and fans and his team's excellence on the court.
Okay.
Hope he wins the Coach of the Year trophy, too. Don't think he will.
No.
He deserves it, but there's just, you know, Budenholzer was great.
Nick Nurse?
Like,
man.
Anyway, I think that award perfectly encapsulates Doc's year.
For sure.
Was this his best season of coaching? In your opinion?
Maybe second best. I don't know. It's really hard.
It's hard
to
when
judge.
A team wins a championship like he did with Boston, but in terms of like...
Well, I wasn't even thinking that year. I was actually just thinking of last year.
The year before last? Yeah. I mean, that could be up there too. We had no business winning 42 games 2 years ago.
But yeah, no. Every stereotype I feel like that we normally talk about with Doc.
Yeah.
I feel like he shook that this year.
He shook it, and even I would say the ones that popped out were, you know, a lot of fans I think were upset with some of the Wilson Chandler minutes, obviously the Avery Bradley minutes in the beginning of the year, and then
I forgot about those. Who is that?
I try and not say his name. And then some of the Garrett Temple stuff. But if those are the only, that was the only real issue. It felt like.
I mean,
sometimes there were some center issues, but that was a personnel thing.
That was a personnel thing. I actually see the Wilson Chandler stuff as a personnel thing, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I know some people weren't super psyched on it, but like, man.
Who else are we playing?
You can't play guys, you know, 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And sure, some scenarios it would be nice to have gotten Jerome or something some more minutes, but you can also see how on the other end he can't defend the same guys that Wilson Chandler can.
Yes, and we were kind of winning, so I don't think Doc wanted to try and develop guys like that, other than Shea and Sham, who were clearly ahead of other players' developments.
Yeah,
with stuff like that. So what do you think was like? What was your favorite? What do you think he did the best this season?
And this is kind of a double-edged sword, but I think what he did best was just having faith in guys' growth and development.
Which is kind of a new thing.
For sure. Him. For young players,
yeah.
Definitely. Because we've definitely seen Doc sometimes ram things against the wall when they don't work.
Yes.
Even when they don't work. So, but the opposite side of that, like, I just thought it was great, the confidence that he had in Shea. Obviously, you know, he went through some ups and downs throughout the season.
Yeah.
But I still feel like he had a lot of faith in him.
And it was nice because that Bradley ankle injury, is a big reason why we saw Shea in the starting lineup, and it was so refreshing. I think people were so worried that Shea was going to be taken out of the starting lineup.
Yeah.
When Bradley came back, and it was so nice that Doc was like, oh, no, this is working.
Yeah. No, my favorite Doc move all year was putting that thumbtack inside every Bradley shoe, which led to the injury.
That's a hot scoop right there.
You know?
Yeah, I think committing to the new guys was probably the best thing he did. I mean, his X's and O's were fantastic. Mm-hmm. Understanding, I know this sounds dumb, but maybe not every coach is just like, yeah, run the pick and roll 5,000 times. If they're not going to stop it, let's keep running it.
Yeah. Well, and that goes into another thing where it's just he has faith in the guys.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. And also just, I think we forget about what guys will do for Doc.
He's an underrated coach. I think that firmly. He's still a very high, well-revered coach.
Oh, absolutely.
But
yeah.
Still underrated.
100%.
And this year showed all of his positives.
Definitely.
He wasn't...
He
wasn't rattled by the absurd turnover that we had.
No.
He made it work and had maybe his best season coaching ever. Like...
I agree, and I just think that what was so refreshing about this season is it seems like he just has like a renewed love of the game and a new love of his job.
All the coaching staff, it was like every game guys were getting ready. There was never any weird tension in the locker room. It never felt like there was, you know, these guys are obviously very professional, so they might be weren't showing it.
Yeah.
But at no point did it feel like there was staff tension. Even when we were going through some defensive stuff, like it didn't seem like him and Kalamian were butting heads or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a fantastic staff, and he ran it so well.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of some tendencies I didn't like, and other than maybe playing Avery Bradley a little too much in the beginning, I can't think of too much stuff.
Yeah, I think that maybe the Zubats adjustment could have been made earlier.
Okay,
but I think
I'm
that
okay
also just
that.
Goes along, like I said, it's a double-edged sword of him like kind of trusting guys and like looking for them to develop, for them to step up in big moments.
And he publicly, it was nice because he was publicly supporting all the young guys. Mm-hmm. Even when Zubats was first on the team, he was like, I think he's got great passing abilities. I think we can get that from him. Showing especially Zubats, a new guy from a team who didn't want him, love, was huge, I think, for making Zubats want to stay and all that stuff. I mean, this is a pretty easy question. What's your final season grade for Doc?
A+.
A+, 100%. Tougher question. What is your specific expectation for Doc next year? Because this is where I think fans might have a short leash for some reason next year for Doc. They shouldn't. I'm not saying that at all. But, like, we were spoiled this year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What's your? Why don't you go first? What is your expectation?
I think we're going, because we don't have a first-round pick, I think that's fantastic for us because Doc doesn't have a new guy to bring in.
Yes.
We, like you said, we don't have another guy to develop or anything like that. So my expectations are I think there's going to be some drop off just from the pick and roll and from some other things. We don't know who we're going to sign yet. I think Doc, with the renewed sense of maybe feeling like this team is more of his team in terms of growing young talent and stuff like that, I think we're going to see more of the same in terms of coaching style. I think the results might not be the same, but I think we're going to do the same things. I'm hoping people don't lose sight of that because the results maybe aren't the same in terms of wins and losses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just going to be some dip in some guys' performances. There's going to be some spike in some others too. But depending if we get a star, I think he'll actually coach better if we get a number one guy.
I was going to say my expectation is just... It's just taking whatever roster he ends up going into next season with and improving. I mean, I think that that's one of his great strengths is he does find ways to make guys shine in whatever role they're good at.
Yeah.
So my expectation would essentially just be more of the same.
Yeah.
It's
going to be, I don't think he can do, save from taking us to a Western Conference Finals, I'm not sure what else he can do to kind of make next year better. And that's not a knock in any way. It was just so great this year, the job he did.
Yeah. No, agreed.
I'm excited, man.
Definitely.
I also want free agency to be over, and it hasn't even started yet, it feels like.
Haven't yet even begun. What was your favorite, what's your favorite Doc memory?
A bunch of people sent me the Mavs memory from the Mavs game when he stopped the game and had the crowd do the ovation for Dirk. I think that's got to be up there. That's an all-time NBA moment, I think.
Yeah, that was great.
That was, I mean, Dirk cried. Yeah. Like, but I think the Boylan incident.
This is what I was going to say. Yeah, the Chicago Bulls double ejection,
dude,
is my favorite Doc moment of the year.
It was so great because it was Doc being like, Boylan was yelling at Doc about his players, and Doc in the interview was like, I'd never do that to guys. That mm-hmm. Those are my guys, deal with it. And then he did such a great job of like politely eviscerating Boylan. Like he was like, that was a legal screen. Don't be mad at me that your guys don't call out screens for your guys.
He might have not said it that politely.
Yes,
which he
for sure.
Do.
Yeah. I also like the Boylan moment because Doc, after a game, was joking that he wanted to do a dual press conference, I think, with Luke Walton.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you should have done one with Jim Boylan, too. And he said, I don't think that would have gone so well for Jim, which was like a great quote. But yeah, what other than the Bulls thing do you have? The Bulls thing was great because that was also an absurd ejection.
Both comebacks are Doc highlight moments. I mean, you know, people talk about him just going into halftime and getting everybody like stirred up and ready. And, you know, despite even saying, I don't know how it's going to happen,
but we're going to win.
But we're going to win.
I wish I would have been in the room after Tobias got traded.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a moment that no one else other than the players and Doc experienced was him looking at those guys and trying to believe that we're still going to win.
I know that. What was it? Didn't they meet at like a continental breakfast in Boston or something?
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like that would have had to have.
I'm sure that was a fantastic moment. And early in the season, we did a big team dinner, and he was glowing about that. He talked about guys talking about their fathers, and like the team was much different then, but it was just great that he was like, we're doing this. Let's galvanize this team.
Yeah, definitely.
We also, that's our Doc Rivers year in review. Let us know what your expectations are for next season.
Yeah.
Rational or
did we miss any of your favorite Doc moments?
Shoot them to us. We actually forgot to do a Milos year in review. Favorite?
We also left something out of the Doc expectations.
What is it?
He's got to grow the mustache back next
year,
baby.
Oh, yeah. We want mustache Doc back.
So sorry to backtrack.
Logan Chance had that on there on Twitter, I believe. We're on board with mustache Doc. We forgot to do a Milos year in review.
Yes.
I wrote a very succinct one. Didn't really want to play for us since we had too many guards, and we let him go. B+.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of those dudes that I really wanted to work out and never really worked out.
He had that quote before the season where it was basically like, I didn't find a better deal in Europe, so I'm happy to come back to the Clippers. And it's like, are you happy to come back?
Yeah.
Or are you just...
You had to come back.
You just kind of coming back. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking some... The Kawhi watch. There's a bunch of free agency ripples. But first, it is not too late to get your dad a new belt.
He needs it.
He needs it.
His pants are around his ankles.
Pants are around his
time.
Ankles. The neighborhood is worried. There's oil stains in the garage. They think he's a drunk.
You got to take care of him.
Grip 6 belts. They are fantastic. They're basically indestructible.
They're as strong as your dad.
So if, oh man, dude, dad's strong? That's a strong ass belt. One more time, check out Grip 6 belts. So welcome to the WTF free agency segment, as I like to call it.
Yes.
Also, very quick, shout out to the Raptors.
Yeah, way to go, guys.
Way to go, buds. I have to assume that this is the first time in sports history that two franchises, the Blues and the Raptors, won their first championships on back-to-back nights. I don't think that's ever happened before. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but how often are any championships won on back-to-back nights, period?
That's what I'm saying. First time in history.
All right.
That's got to happen. I mean, it lined up this year.
That's fair. You know what my biggest problem is with the NBA Finals? The Larry O'Brien Trophy.
You know, in Canada, it's called the Gary O'Brien Trophy.
But I hate that you can't eat anything out of it.
Yeah, there needs to be a bowl attachment.
Yeah.
Or put a perk in there.
I was going to say, or it could be a pipe.
You could turn that thing into a pipe. Clay Thompson, they probably had to get a new one because he was roasting bowls in that thing. But real quick, so the Raptors are champions. Kawhi watch. 2019.
Kawhi.
There were a couple. That was fantastic. That was off the dome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There were a
That's
couple
a good
things.
Scat classes.
There were a couple things that, you know, Kawhi was being Kawhi last night.
Very much so. He was a little bit more emotional, I think, than we've seen him outside of the Game 7 Philly shot.
Definitely. He was having a great time, but there was a couple red, white, and blue flags, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
About his future. He referred to the Raptors as they in the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Something for Toronto to build on, he hears himself. Something for all of us to build on, he corrects himself. Interesting.
Definitely. And he also, like, the way he was talking about it in that the great Rachel Nichols interview with Kyle Lowry, he was like, you know, we got a chance to do something special. And it seemed like maybe a one-time thing. And then when she asked Lowry if he would be pushing hard to make Kawhi go, he's like, no, I don't really do that. And I think that he's going to make whatever decision, you know, based on what he wants and his family.
Oh, man.
And I can't be mad at him because he helped me do what I want to do.
So is he gone?
Oh, man.
I don't think
he also denied, we might have talked about this too, he also denied the property claim that he's buying stuff in,
which I've
in
been,
Toronto.
I'll tell you one thing. I got people in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
They got their ears to the ground, literally, at every for sale property. They're watching for it. Also, this, okay, one of these, two reporters, one of them has more credence than the other. We'll start with the one who doesn't have as much credence. Max Kellerman said that if Kawhi goes to the Clippers, that the Clippers are winning the championship next year. Is that insane? Kind of.
Where's the lie?
Okay, I'm not, I mean.
Which part is wrong?
I don't know if we're for sure winning the championship next year with Kawhi.
What do you mean? Happen this year?
I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying that's kind of, you know, free agency hasn't started yet. The one that I do like is that Woj tweeted that we're still high on Kawhi's list of teams.
Makes sense.
A lot of people seem to think that is literally just between the Clippers and the Raps.
Yeah. I mean, I would think he'd want to come back to California, but I don't know. You know, once again, I don't know.
Toronto seems like a city he enjoys. This, so, and obviously...
We should interview his daughter, see what she thinks about it.
I'm sure that, of all people, Kawhi Leonard loves having his daughter interviewed by two dudes who host a Clippers podcast in Torrance. but this brings up a great point. So, obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably know that Klay Thompson has a torn ACL.
Yes.
So, Klay Thompson has a torn ACL.
Very
KD ruptures Achilles. Heartbreaking injuries last night. The Warriors dynasty drove 65 miles an hour into a wall. No one's ever seen a dynasty end like that.
It's heartbreaking.
I was very sad. But Justin Russo on Twitter, at FlyByNight, brought up a great point that goes in the Kawhi thing. Next year matters for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is the slate has been wiped clean in such an absurd fashion in terms of the top
teams. Are you
talking
about how open the West is?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
That... the West is wide open. AD's on the table. Does this open up a new batch of teams trying to scramble things this week? And this also goes into, if you're Kawhi, does the more open West make you want to come over more? Because we had talked about on this pod, like, you got to stay in the East, man. You're already killing it.
Yeah.
But now it's like...
now it seems like next season the East is going to be the harder of the two conferences.
Yes. And it the West really feels up in the air.
It does.
As of... 155 on whatever day, it feels up in the air. Like
very much so.
Even let's say the Lakers get AD and Kyrie. That's great. Even if Kawhi stays in Toronto, it's still such a like...
yeah. No one is unbeatable anymore.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering, I don't know if that makes Kawhi want to come through.
Yeah.
You know? It's a hard thing to try and figure out because I also think there might be some other, you know, like what if the Nuggets put together some absurd AD trade or like...
I don't see that working.
I don't either. But a team, but I'm saying like that's
but
a
you're
situation.
Throwing it out there.
Yeah, that's a situation where teams who like maybe didn't have a thing, have a plan for AD can be like, we got to figure something out now. Like,
definitely.
Golden State's done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to increase. Well, it's kind of like what we saw at the trade deadline this year in the East, how everybody just like artillery
squad up.
Yeah.
Let's load up, dude.
The
bad man is gone.
The light at the end of the tunnel was just like clearer than it had ever looked.
Yeah.
So I do think that there's going to be a renewed sort of like desperation for teams to sign stars.
And a fun desperation because it's like an opportunistic desperation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, we'll see what happens there.
And in terms of the Klay injury, Warriors are already playing it off from the Supermax. He's just going to sign with the Warriors again. Most likely is what it seems like.
Yes.
With Durant, are we 100% out? Do you think we're 100% out on Durant coming to the Clippers?
Yes.
I think we kind of are too. Which bums me out.
I think that door...
the Klay injury, I think, slammed it. Weirdly.
The Klay injury for sure slammed it. Yeah, and I don't think the injury is necessarily like what's putting us off of him.
No, I think the injury... I think that's... we would offer him the same anyway.
Yeah.
I was talking to Will about this. I had a really funny conversation with my buddy who does not watch the NBA. And he was like, oh, man, you know, Durant ruptured his Achilles. That's got to kill his value, right? And I felt so weird being like, no. No, teams are still going to offer him literally the max.
Oh, yeah. For Kevin Durant? I mean, you know who he is.
Yeah, he's Kevin Durant. It's just such a crazy thing that these two guys are both so good that teams are still going to offer their max.
Absolutely.
But yeah. I agree with you. I think we're out on KD. Woj reported that opting in is going to be a last resort. The Warriors plan on giving both these guys the max.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting question. What happens with Dre?
Yeah, so that is what I think is going to be interesting because he's got 1 year left.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't enter free agency this summer.
Great. Yeah.
But next summer. And he's going to do everything I think that he can do to make sure that he's eligible for the Supermax.
He's going to try and make All NBA or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like all the weird qualifiers.
He has to make like the all defensive team.
Yeah. I think he is too. That's going to be. Yeah, so he's got one more year. He's going to be maybe the biggest, other than AD, because he's been said that he's going to not re-sign with whoever he gets traded to.
Yeah.
Draymond might be the biggest free agent next year. The free agency class is bad. No disrespect to Draymond, but it's not a good free agency class, especially compared to this year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think we got a lot of pressure on us now that you mentioned it on Tuesday. Now that one of our top two targets is not going to come, probably. We have so much more pressure on us to sign those depth guys.
Yes.
Or not depth, like the whatever is in between depth and elite level, that's what we got to sign.
Yeah.
The Bohans, the Vucevic's, yes. Maybe. It's interesting, man. I hate injuries so much.
Yeah, they're rough.
It was brutal to watch that.
It was.
Shout out to Klay Thompson for hitting those two free throws. Or trying to hit those.
That was unreal.
Like the video, Ramona Shelbourne wrote a report that is so sad. He came out of the locker room after he went back and was like, did we win? Like, am I good to play Monday? Like, am I good to play on Sunday? Like, he was telling Kerr Hill he needs a 2-minute rest and he's good to go back out there. Like, unbelievable heart show by this Warriors team.
Yeah.
The narrative switched. The narrative, like, I hated the Warriors 72 hours ago. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
It's pretty crazy. Let us know. What you guys think is going to happen with our free agency? Some guy was tweeting at me that we're still going to get Kawhi and KD. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that was ever going to happen.
Ever going to happen. Coming up after this, we're going to be doing just some Gallo off-season talk. But first, Will, where do you listen to your podcast?
Himalaya app.
What?
Have you heard of it?
Where?
Oh, the Himalaya app. It's this great app. It's free to download.
Free?
And you can listen a lot on Clippers. They got cool playlist features. Because on iTunes, you're cram-rammed in to a set play.
Specific order. I guess what you're saying is if you wanted to go through and just listen to all our recaps at once, you can bang those out back to back.
You could, yeah.
Wow. I should check out the Himalaya app.
You should.
Can I rate and subscribe podcasts on there?
Yes, you can.
People should do that with our podcast on there.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
Huh.
Himalaya app.
All right, welcome to the Gallo off-season recap. Sponsored by Hotels.com. Get a hotel for when you're staying in a different city. That's their new slogan.
That's pretty good.
Hotels.com. So we're talking Gallo's off-season, which is going to be very different than his off-season last year.
Mm-hmm.
If you missed it, Gallo will be playing with Team Italy at the FIBA World Cup. He did not play for the international team last year because he wanted to get in shape and come back stronger and in better shape,
mm-hmm.
which I think everyone can agree.
Worked out.
Really worked out. Worked out fantastic. So are you psyched or not psyched that he's playing in this competition?
I'm psyched.
Wow.
Yeah. I want him to be inspired by the Lou Williams workout and be like, yeah, I'm not lifting weights anymore. Freaking hooping and all I'm right. stretching.
Okay.
I'm stretching and hooping.
I didn't think of it that way, but I like that.
He just wants to play more ball, man.
You a little worried, though?
Nah.
None?
Nah.
Okay. I am not as psyched on it. I don't see why you would... See, he had the healthiest, best year of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why you would
switch... He wants to hoop more.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, I don't see why you switch up your off-season routine after that.
What's a real hooper's thing?
So you're saying he wasn't a real hooper this year?
No, I'm saying you don't understand it.
I'm just worried. I don't want him to get hurt. It's just... We know he's not going to...
As long as he doesn't punch anybody, he seems fine.
I'm fine with him punching people if it's bodies only.
Oh, only body
shots. What if
he's
like, let's go bodies? Like, if he's going bodies with people in the bathroom like high school kids do, that's fine. to settle his disputes, or if he's just giving people kidney shots instead of punching them in the face and breaking his hand. I'm just a little wary. I might be being a little paranoid about it, but I'm just... The FIBA competition, in terms of the competition you're playing, isn't necessarily as good as some of the other international competitions, which mm-hmm. I think can sometimes lend itself to some... Not reckless, because they're all very good basketball players, but, you know, like, some plays that might not happen against people with more skill.
Yeah.
In terms of physicality.
Yeah,
and
no,
stuff like that.
That totally makes sense. I guess what I think is positive about it is, I think one of the biggest things that helped him out last year was coming in shape.
Svelte. You
know, he didn't play his way into shape. Like, he came in
that's a very
ready
good point.
To go. He looked leaner than I've seen him in a
okay.
long time.
I'm switching a little more to the other side now.
So I think that, you know, at this point of his career, you know, there's no need for him to play in FIBA. You know what I mean?
He's
proved himself.
That's what I'm kind of also like. I know you love playing for your country, but
so
like,
that's what I mean. I guess my rationale would be he feels ready to do it. He, you know, he's eager to play.
Yeah.
And I just think that that'll lend itself into him being like healthy and game ready coming into the season. And
that's fair.
I don't know.
I'm also.
What I'm saying is things are all coming up, Gallo.
I hope, dude. And forgive me, I don't know a whole lot about the Italian national basketball team. But I'd be cool if they maybe had a young guy he's mentoring, like a young Italian that Gallo could take under his wing and show him how to play spicy basketball.
Yeah,
can Dante DiVincenzo be on the Italian basketball team?
I don't know, but I support
dude,
it.
Dude, based on his name alone, I feel like they're like, yeah, you've been on the team since you've been born. Dude, Donnie D and Gallo on the same team would be sick.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, the Italian connection? That wouldn't be bad. So for today, let us know what you think about Gallo playing in the offseason. I would like to see him playing in Atlanta with Trez and Lou. That's what I want to see more.
I would really like to see that too. You know what? A pickup.
Some Drew League. Dude, could you imagine Gallo in the Drew League?
I think it'd be very
fun.
That
would be so tight.
It'd be very fun.
We got to go to a Drew League game.
Yeah. I think it'd really fit his style too. Just kind of.
Shoot. Just yeah. Post up. Shoot. So for today's Love, Marry, Kill. Sponsored by Hotels.com.
For when you need a place out of town or in town.
Oh.
Your business is up to you at Hotels.com.
Whatever you do in your hotel room is between you and those four walls. Gallo's current nickname is Il Gallo, which is fine in my eyes.
Yeah.
I personally think he needs a change. So we're doing some Love, Marry, Kill for some Gallo nicknames. Feel free to add some random ones,
okay.
As you do with every single Love, Marry, Kill segment that we do. But here's what I got. I got Danilo Raging Bull Gallinari.
Okay.
I have the Cannoli Commander Danilo Gallinari. The order matters in what you say it. And then I have Danilo Pizza Party Gallinari.
Okay. Our dog in.
I'm gonna go first because I'm gonna let these soak in and maybe you can think of seven other ones you want to add. I am loving the Cannoli Commander Danilo
okay.
Gallinari.
Yeah,
I think it's
good.
Very funny. I think maybe some people see it as maybe an allusion to tanking, which I wouldn't want to have in their minds. You know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah.
Like tank commander.
That's not very us.
And if he comes in out of shape, it would maybe seem like a mean nickname, which I do not mean it as.
Yeah, that's
guy
true.
Guy just probably loves cannoli.
Yeah.
I am marrying Danilo Pizza Party Gallinari.
Oh, I mean, of course.
If you're an announcer, there is nothing better than a rhyming nickname.
Oh, yeah.
Being like, the truth. That's cool, I guess. But every time Gallo hit a three and someone went, that's a three from Danilo Pizza Party Gallinari. Dude, everyone loves it. And then you could say, it's a pizza party! And he comes on the court or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I am killing Danilo Raging Bull Gallinari because I don't think people want to remember when he socked that fool in the face.
Yeah.
He also clocked that guy. If you have not seen that clip, I do not want to take a punch from any NBA player, let alone the strongest player in the league, Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't break that guy's orbital socket.
I thought he did.
Man, he might have.
Who knows?
He might have exploded it. He might have liquefied it. He hit it so hard. All right, what do you got for Gallo's new nickname?
All right, I'm loving Danilo Pizza Party Gallinari. I mean,
that's a good one.
That's just a good, fun time.
It's great because his name, you can put any kind of party and it rhymes.
Yes.
Danilo Sock Party Gallinari. Danilo Brick Party Gallinari. It's all great.
Brick Party?
Yeah, you're slanging bricks. This is when he was a drug dealer in Italy.
It seems like he's clanking shots if you call him Brick Party.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, he's having a bad night.
Yeah. So I like that a lot.
All right.
I'm marrying. I gotta stick to my guns. Just Danilo, strongest man in the NBA, Gallinari.
Okay, I should have put that on the list. That is good.
It's a bit of a mouthful, which, you know, I'll admit to.
You gotta be strong to say it.
But you know what? Sometimes you're strong enough to hyphenate your last name.
You gotta give credit where it's due when you're the strongest man in the league.
Yes.
Also, anyone out there, this is an open challenge.
Yeah.
For the rest of the time that I am on this earth, and I'm gonna vouch for you and say that you're on this earth.
Okay.
If you can find any evidence that Danilo Gallinari is not the strongest player in the NBA,
yeah,
Will and I will treat you to a burger and fries from...
At the Snow White Cafe.
Oh, sure, at Snow White Cafe.
We'll toss in a nice cold brewski if you're 21 years of
if
age
you're 21
or older.
And up, we'll but all right, so which one of these are you... What are you on kill right now, right?
Yeah, well, I want to add another one.
Add it up, dude.
That I'm liking.
Love, Mary...
I'm not
Love, Mary, Kill is cool. Check the box. Which, yes, no,
Gallo,
maybe.
The hot slice. Gallinari. Hot slice, I don't know what it would mean outside of the
funny.
Context of a piece of pizza.
That's
but I think
so
it's
funny.
Very funny.
The hot slice is good. All right. You like the hot slice. That's
I
fair.
Like the hot slice. I love Pizza Party Gallinari. And I gotta marry strongest man in the NBA, Gallinari. I will also kill Raging Bull.
All right, overrated. It's kind of funny because he punched that guy. Bit of an overrated movie. Great performance. Not an over. Yeah, but an overrated movie as a whole. Let us know what you think. You should call Gallo. Pizza Party's good. Strongest Man in the NBA is really great. On Monday, excuse me, Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
maybe Monday, if something crazy happens,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be talking the draft, which is next week, which is insane.
Believe
it. We're gonna be broadcasting on Twitter, so send us your questions.
Yes.
Plus, whatever else happens between now and then.
There's probably going to be some huge Kawhi news.
There's probably going to be some Kawhi news. I'm sure there's going to be some absurd AD trade. Something we didn't touch on. Very happy we're not including Shea in any AD trade.
Yeah.
That's been made very clear.
Yes.
Love it. You want to give a shout out to Untuck It Shirts?
Hey.
If you're a slob and you wear your shirt untucked, look like less of a slob with Untuck It.
You don't look like a slob with your shirt untucked.
Some button-down shirts look a little too long.
Oh, if they're not Untuck It shirts.
That's what I'm saying.
They look like ass.
I look bad with them. I have an Untuck It shirt. I look great. I'm drinking craft beers. Everyone's having a good time. Guys.
Ironing your jeans.
Ironing. At the bar. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Please rate and subscribe. Thanks for sticking with us in the off season. Really appreciate it. Want to give a shout out to Clipperholics and Clips Nation. They helped us get... We're over 1,000 followers on Twitter now.
Yeah.
We started at $1.67. We're at a G and 53 or something. I don't know. It's fantastic. We're so happy you guys are listening.
This train is flying firmly off the rails.
Oh, yeah. We are losing it. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.